So, this evening, as you all know, this is our last class for our Lenten discussion. However, last week, both Father Bill and I just had an informal exchange with, I believe, one or two others about perhaps coming together somewhere at some point in the Easter season to discuss, at least one more time, to discuss the additional motifs that Fleming Rutledge identifies in her book, because they're all rich images that perhaps should be unpacked and discussed in this context. And unfortunately, because this is our last class, we're only going to be able to deal with two of those motifs. So what I would like to do at the end of our class is to, since we break off into groups, I would like to assign a group, each group, to tackle one of the motifs and unpack it so that when we do decide on the date that we'd like to meet again, that each group will discuss that particular motif. So basically you'll have from today through Holy Week, perhaps through the first week of Easter, and Father Bill and I will leave it to you as a group, individual groups, to figure out how to communicate with one another or when to meet to discuss those motifs. I think it's worth us coming back one more time to discuss that, those motifs. Now, I have chosen this evening for our discussion two motifs, ransom and redemption and the apocalyptic war. So this time we're going to be in two groups. And I want to just read the statement and then the questions that follow. For the group that will deal with ransom and redemption, here is the question, or rather the quotation. Redemption, buying back, is not cheap. In the death of Jesus, we see God himself suffering the consequences of sin. That is the price. When Christian teaching falls short of this proclamation, the work of Christ on the cross is diminished to the vanishing point, becoming nothing more than an exemplary death to admire, to venerate, perhaps even emulate, but certainly not an event to shake the foundations of this world order. The two questions that I've come up with for those who will be discussing ransom and redemption are: do you think it was fair for Christ to be your substitute and pay your penalty? The part B of the first question is, when you think about Christ acting as your substitute, what attitude and emotion is called for in your heart? The second question, how does the redemption picture help you, us, understand the meaning of the cross? That's the questions. Those are the questions for ransom and redemption. Here is the statement for those who will be studying the apocalyptic war. Any tendency to interpret the victory of Christ on the cross without reference to sin as one of the powers has an ill effect on ethics. It encourages an unhealthy separation of personal piety from social action. It permits groups within the church to stand over against other groups, those doing the work of liberation and those obstructing it. When there is no sense of mutual sinfulness in the church, a dangerous condition exists, with one party in the church considering itself to be true believers, showing subtle and not so subtle contempt for those less enlightened. The two questions associated with the apocalyptic war are: what aspect of our sin does this particular theory focus on? And question two, how does this theory develop Christ saving us for life with God and others. And then I just threw in, as I was typing, I threw in just a third question for the group consideration, group discussion. How has these two biblical motifs shaped your personal and corporate understanding of the importance of Lent? Right, so now, as I made copies, and for some strange reason, for the first time in my year and perhaps week or two being rector of this wonderful parish, the copier misbehaved. And so I do have copies. However, I have more copies for those who will be doing ransom and redemption because the copier shifted the printing mode. And so for those who are dealing with the apocalyptic war, I have two copies, and you sort of just share those. All right. Two copies for the second discussion, group two. And I think I got more than enough copies for group one. That's right. That's right. And then, of course, we'll end by having someone from each group to come and just sort of just capture the essence of what was shared. All right, and so we'll start with Kathy. Kathy will start with group, she's group one. And then Emily is two. Phil is three. No, I'm sorry, two, one. I'm sorry, thank you. Last time we had three. That's right, Phil is one.
Two.
Two.
One.
Two. One.
Two.
Some people can't.
Excellent. All right. So group one, someone from group one. All right. So
we get.
Oh no! You get the majority. Yes. And group two. Okay. So why don't we just we'll take this side, one on this side, group two over here.
You are
group one over here. Yeah. So who do we have? Who did we have from our group? Who's going to share our summary? Phil. All right, we got Phil. That's right. All right.
Yeah, I'm making the. See that? I told you that would happen. All right. Question group number one, ransom and redemption. well, the first question we considered is, do you think it was fair for Christ to be your substitute and pay your penalty? We all agreed it was not fair. Okay. Now, this is where you may see things start to be thrown at me. We could not agree on whether or not Christ was a substitute. There was disagreement about that. I don't think so. We came to no consensus on that. Some of us thought that it wasn't, and they'll speak for themselves. When you think about Christ acting as your substitute, what attitude and emotion is called for you in your heart? Well, the other piece is when we talk about substitute, we talked about whether or not Christ was commanded to do this, or was it voluntary on his part? And if it was voluntary, was it a sacrifice? as opposed to being commanded. And again, I don't think we ever reached a consensus on that. Many of us felt that, correctly in my opinion, that it was voluntarily on his part, and it was just as great a sacrifice, if not more of a sacrifice, than if it was commanded. But then we also realized that in the agony in the garden, Christ says, not as I will, but as you will. So it was we came to the conclusion, I think, that it was a mixture of things, of the issues. And then the issue of what attitude and emotion is called for in your heart. Well, we had gratitude, awe, a need for compassion. And some of us were just silent on that. We never didn't voice something, but I think we all agreed on that. And the second question, how does redemption picture help you understand the meaning of the cross? Again, we tried to do it in one word, and many of us couldn't come up with one word. One thing that was said was that the cross is forever, it's eternal. It wasn't just there and it's gone now. And so that it gets back to what St. Paul said, Christ died once for all, and therefore it's an eternal sacrifice, if I can use the word sacrifice. So that was us. Okay, come on, let's hear about the apocalypse.
All right, bear with me, this is going to be difficult. All right, first I should say that we just thought that this was a big question. We could spend a lot more time on this. It's actually three big questions, but all right, if we parse this out, the first sentence, any tendency to interpret the victory of Christ on the cross without reference to sin is one of the powers has ill effect on ethics. It encourages an unhealthy separation of personal piety and social action. So what does this mean? That we can go through life feeling very good about ourselves. We're good people. We don't do bad things to other people. We try to act generally correctly. But perhaps if we just unquestioningly accept the culture within, the social norms, and that's very comfortable, and we do feel we're doing good, that maybe we're not doing completely the right thing, that we need to look outside of ourselves. And the church, first of all, can help us to identify what we're missing. You know, if we live in this nice neighborhood, maybe we don't see how people live in a neighborhood 5 miles away where things are more difficult than here. But the church perhaps helps us in several ways to reach out, to find out what those problems are, and to take action. And it's what we should be doing as a church. The follow-up on that, the second line, or second sentence, it permits groups within the church to stand over against other groups, those doing the work of liberation and those obstructing it. And if we think of liberation as those doing the work of good, maybe we can use a broader term, that the church, we banding together, trying to reach out, we can do what we can't do by ourselves. And, you know, just to regress for a moment, the hardest step maybe is to figure out what we should be doing and then to reach out and do it. So ultimately, it's really the church working through all of us that take action. So I was a little disjointed, but that's kind of where we came out. Is that all right?
Well, thank you, Bob.
So I know that our time has come to a close. Let me just say, I want to just say thank you all so much for both congregations for coming together during the Lenten season and to engage this book. We all have mixed feelings about Fleming Rutledge's book, but the one common denominator is that it brought us together, right? And we hope both Bill and I hope that that our two congregations could do more of these activities together. It was so rewarding, I know, to Grace Church, and I'm sure to St. Charles as well.
and for us to be so close, there's no reason for us not to get together for studies like this in the future. I do hope that we are able to come together one last time to deal with a couple of the remaining motifs. I think we could do, we could handle those in one meeting. And I will get with Bill, and you, group one, will get two motifs, three, and group two will get three, and that'll carry eight. And the next meeting, we'll probably just deal with those motifs. That way we can give, we could use the bulk of that time to unpack those three, the six, the remaining six motifs. And so that'll be sort of like the end of our study. It'll go into the, actually we'll have to do this in the Easter season because we're pretty much at an end during the Lent, for Lent. But that simply gives us more time to read the book, look at, study the motifs, and to come prepared for what I think would be a wonderful informative discussion on these motifs. So I just want to say thank you all so much, and I look forward to us getting together again in the not-too-distant future for an opportunity to celebrate and to do some great things. Thank you all so much. Any last parting comments? Anything that, that anyone would like to say?
Well, I'd just like to say that I think it was wonderful to get the two parishes together, and that I hope we can do other, other things together. Just maybe not so much this book, but maybe choose another topic or another book and just do something else together. Lovely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Before I ask Father Bill to absolve us and to bless us, Father, thank you so much. It has been and it remains a joy to be your colleague in Brooklyn Heights, and I look forward to you and I getting together and planning out some future activities. Anything that you would like to say as we bring this portion of our class to an end?
Well, this is just a wonderful thing for us to go back to something that was a tradition, at least when Monsignor Duvini and Father Cheryl were here many years ago, the two parishes working together. There are some things that you just need to discuss to understand. They're just too deep for any, for not only one person, but maybe one perspective, and the more that we bring our own charisms, not only as individuals, but as churches and congregations together, the more I think we'll bring out what is our, the things that hold us together, the love of Jesus and his command that we go into the world and reflect his kingdom in it. We can't do it alone. The Pope said something very interesting yesterday. He said, I'm sure that the right-wing press is going to have to fall with this one. He said, maybe there are different religions because God wants it that way. Maybe one religion can't do it. I think he was talking more about Islam and Buddhism, but I think we all have strengths and weaknesses, and we can come together and we can reflect on them. And so this is one step, and I hope there'll be many, many more.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Father Bill. Lastly, I will end by saying I cannot tell you how much you all have fed both Father Bill and I. I found these discussions to be immensely helpful. You are all a great wealth of knowledge. You're theologically deep, whether you know it or not. You have some keen sense and understanding about God, perhaps more than you realize, and that has been just a joy and a treasure to hear each of you express in your own words what your relationship with God means, what it means to you, how you live it out in your daily lives, and why community matters. And so thank you for just sharing a part of you with us. And without further ado, Father, will you please bless us and send us out?
One thing I learned years ago is that the people in the parish live what the preachers proclaim. So again, as Father just said, want to thank you for the lives that you live. Maybe we should do something different. Maybe since we're coming into the time where you're going to be hearing a whole lot of us, maybe you should bless us. Stand up. Stand up. Bless us.
Bless you.
Since again, you're going to be hearing a whole, maybe it's just a silent prayer that the Spirit touch us to, that we will say what you need to hear this, not only this Lent, but particularly this Easter season.
Right. So. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
The Lord be with you.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's our blessing.
That's it. That's our blessing.
So, let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for that wonderful blessing, Robert. So, you know, some of the best blessings are the ones that are simple from the heart, uncomplicated, and that's what you did. You all blessed us. Thank you all so much.
Yes, you bless. Remember what Jesus said. Do nothing like the pagans in Babylon, thinking that the more you say, the
less you have. I remember you used to say, God bless you.
Obviously, by the way, you listen to them. They didn't even avoid hearing them.
I did.
Well, there's a secret.
Oh, I just.